and fill those out. During the front part of our service, we'll be collecting the one that talks about prayers. We need that right after the gospel lesson. And the other one, you can just place in it when the offering goes by. Just place that one, asking for just to let us know you're here. And so you'll never know. One day your card may be selected for that special drawing. So we'd like to have you stand and greet one another right now. Hello, JC. We make our beginning this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. Pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, to be gracious and merciful to me, poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, who governs all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully hear the prayers of your people and grant us your peace through all days. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The reading comes from Isaiah chapter 49. Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, he named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified. But I have said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my right is with the Lord, and my recompense with my God. And now the Lord says, he who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, his Holy One, the one deeply despised, abhorred by the nation, the servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise, princes they shall protrust themselves, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The next reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Jesus Christ, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that has given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you are enriched in him, in speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift, as you wait for the revealing of Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end. Guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
The gospel appointed to this Sunday is St. John, the first chapter. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and bore witness that this is the Son of God. The next day John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, what are you seeking? And they said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, come, and you will see. So they came and saw where he was staying and stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Thank you. Is my mic on? There we go. Thank you. I want to, I guess, as we begin, first of all, say thank you to Trinity for your outpouring of love and concern and support during this time of our loss for Desiree's father, Orville, and we thank you for that. A little bit later, we'll be sharing more about that in the message. This week, we began the second volume of the Immerse Bible Study, and I would just like to say that we have a wonderful opportunity in it to be able to study and understand scriptures and to be able to partake in our own individual readings. And in 8 weeks, last time we offered volume one, we studied the entire New Testament in 8 weeks. And as a congregation, we had opportunity to read individually and then come into a small group Bible study and then to come for worship service on the weekend, and then to hear a message that would be about those readings. That's what we're doing now with the books of Genesis through Deuteronomy. And we should do that today and be done probably by Tuesday. Just kidding. I wanted to let you know that as we share with this wonderful text with you, these stories from Genesis, we start to think about the Bible and the message of the Bible and what's it all about. Cover to cover, page by page, it is about Jesus Christ who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And about this study, we'll go again and again see in the book even of Genesis that that is so true. Luther said that if you were to open the Bible to any page and stick a sword in it, it would read and it would bleed blood, the red blood of Christ, because it all points to Jesus. The message, divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit, is clear throughout. Each of the 66 books stand separately and yet become one, even though they cover 1,600 years of history and were written by 40 different men, writing under the inspiration of God, living at different times and in different places, yet harmoniously their message agrees. The Bible is old, yet it is ever new. It's not just history that has no meaning for us. Today it informs us of the past, informs the present, and predicts the future, all pointing to Jesus, the Word. Ironically, the Bible, the Word of God, is all about the Word Jesus, who we read in John was with God, and who is God, and who through whom all things were created. Behind and beneath the Bible, above and beyond the Bible, is the God of the Bible. It is in the Bible that we meet God, and He reveals Himself to us. It is said that the Old Testament commences and the New Testament completes. The Old Testament gathers around Sinai, and the New Testament gathers around Mount Calvary. The Old is associated with Moses, and the New with Christ. The beginnings Bible study is going to begin with Genesis, which was pretty much our weekly reading through about chapter 22, I think, or 23. It will cover creation, where we found that man was God's crowning achievement, made in His own image. Here we discover our identity, our purpose, and God has a plan, and He's in a passionate pursuit of a personal relationship with each and every one of us. Fall of man into sin, where we see how Adam and Eve's fall changed everything, and how God's plan of salvation had to be kicked in. The flood, where God says that He regretted even making man, but He spared one human family, Noah's family. The Babel, the Tower of Babel, and how humanity had been told, go forth, be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth. But they decided to stay in one tiny, tiny place and build a great big tower to their own glory. And God confused their language. Each and every one of these pages and stories that we read about this week is about the relationship. A relationship of God to man and then the world that He created for us. Can you imagine that God created the world to be a harmonious and beautiful place? And we read actually in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 about that creation. And we find out how beautiful and harmonious it was. And on the sixth day, God had created all things. And then on the seventh day, He rested. And if you read it in the Bible, you'll see He created and it was good. In the Hebrew, it says, it was very good. God just kind of kicked back and said, "It's very good." You know how you look at that thing that you've created, that cake or that thing that you've baked, that home that or that woodwork project that you've done, and you look at it and you say, at the end of it, you say, "Oh, this is good. This is very good." That's kind of what God was saying about this creation. But due to the deception of the devil and human disobedience, the whole creation was corrupted and changed. Only in chapter 3 we read about this. It began. God in the Garden of Eden, after the sin of Adam and Eve, we see God going to work already right now, establishing restoration and renewal and the rescue of humanity and his creation. He would redeem them. But at great cost, the lifeblood of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that he speaks of already in Genesis chapter 3, just a few short verses after the fall of man into sin. Genesis begins to outline God's plan, yes, to restore, renew, and rescue humanity, but he would redeem the world through a son. But the news of his plan would be shared across humanity, using our lives as a bridge to speak of him. We first see of his love for Adam and then creating Eve. Both were created in the image of God. God created Eve for what? So that Adam would have a helpmeet, someone suitable for him, someone who was his equal, someone whom he could enjoy his life and sharing with. It was about relationships. God's relationship with Adam and Eve, then Noah and his family, to a relationship with Abraham and his family, Isaac and Jacob and Esau, and yes, the promises of God that he would make with Abraham. Beginnings is about relationships. In the Bible, we find the answers to life's ultimate questions also. Where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? What is the purpose of my existence? Genesis provides these answers. We are created by God for the purpose of having a relationship with him. We are created in his image. We were ones who he wants a relationship with. He pursues us and has a plan for doing so. We're not here by accident or some cosmic explosion or some evolutionary process. My life and yours has a plan and a purpose. And so does God's destiny for you. He destines you and I to live with him forever in paradise. And Genesis tells us all about this. No other book in all of libraries of the world can clearly and with certainty make such a claim. But here in the book of Genesis, we begin to see God's mystery and his plan unfold and answer these deep, deep questions. It's also about trust and belief. We would read that Adam and Eve trusted God, but the devil would deceive them. God would cast them out of the garden, but would covenant to redeem and save Adam and Eve again. He sacrificed animals to cover their nakedness and their shame, and the relationship between God and man would then continue. You know, as we've said before, that Adam and Eve were told to what? Go, be fruitful, and multiply. And they knew that by their love and intimacy with each other, they would be able to pass on death, and the DNA of sin would be passed on to all the world and all their children and grandchildren. And so now that they had fallen into sins and the devil's deception, they were going to be passing on death. I had a little boy that was so ashamed that he had done something he shouldn't have. He wouldn't say, "I'm sorry, Pastor." And we convinced him, "It's okay, God still loves you." But you see, Adam and Eve were like that. They had to be convinced. God had to say, "Adam, where are you?" But we were hiding. We were hiding from you, God. And we were naked, so we were ashamed. And God said, "Have you eaten of the fruit of the tree?" He already knew. And so when we start to look at that, what we see is that Adam and Eve, sin was that which they knew that now through their intimacy there would be passing on death, and disobedience caused all of that, and that terrible destruction and the curse of knowing both good and evil, knowing now the existence of evil. They were so ashamed, they hid, and they covered their very parts of their body that would pass on this DNA called sin. And you know what God did? There in the garden, he sacrificed animal life. And their blood would cover the sins of Adam and Eve, projected towards Christ, who would ultimately be the one who would pay that price. But that God also covered their nakedness, taking the skins of those animals and covering their nakedness and their shame so that they could go on in existence and not be so ashamed. Isn't that how it is with our life, as our moms and our dads sometimes tell us, or our grandmas or grandpas, or now we tell our children and grandchildren? I forgive you. It's okay. We help to take the shame and the guilt away. And so as we start to look at this, we see that Jesus was that one who would be the one who would do that. Trust and belief. Noah believed in God and built an ark in what today is a desert. But he acted upon his belief, and he trusted God that he was going to send a flood. And so at 600 years old, the Bible tells us that Noah did as God had said, and he gathered the animals after he had built the ark. And he gathered his family, and they went inside the ark. And almost a year later, the ark door was opened, and an altar was built on dry ground. And there they worshiped God. Now, God told Noah's family again, like he had told Adam and Eve, go and be fruitful, multiply, and spread out, subdue the earth. Later, Noah's descendants would settle in one area and build a tower to reach into the heavens, to build a name for themselves, and to try to claim to be God and God-like. I find it very interesting that at the Tower of Babel, God confused their languages and separated them and spread them out. But on Pentecost, after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, all came to Jerusalem and gathered in Jerusalem to worship God. And they heard the message of Jesus Christ risen from the dead in their own native language. And there in Jerusalem, they heard of Jesus and him risen from the dead and heard that one message that would change all of their lives. Abraham trusted God. He would be the thought that he would be the father of many nations, and at age 90, he was still childless with Sarah as his wife. Abraham would direct that he and all the males in his household were to be circumcised because God had promised that he would be a father of many nations. This would be a daily reminder to all the people, all of Abraham's relatives and descendants, and all the people that were circumcised, that he would be the father of many nations. It also showed that Abraham trusted God. Abraham also trusted God when that son Isaac was born at around 100 years old for Abraham, and Abraham later takes him and binds him and places him on an altar because God had said, you shall go to the mount that I'll point out to you, and you shall sacrifice there your son. Abraham trusted God. And he acted in faith. He took steps to do what God had directed him, like Noah. And in his trust and his belief, he even raised the knife to kill his son. But God provided a lamb that would be the blood, that would be the sacrifice, that day would be offered to God. That Lamb of God was the one that John spoke of ultimately. Jesus the Christ, who would be sacrificed on Calvary, and who was the one who was to be sacrificed by his Father. It is in this life of these biblical characters that we see the drama and daily life, faith and belief, and disobedience in their lives. We hear of a family murder, Cain killing Abel, of the struggle to live, believing in the promise of God, yet seeing no evidence of its fulfillment yet. Sarah would even try to help God by giving her handmaid to be a surrogate mother. But God would have none of it. And at age of 90, Sarah would become the mother of Isaac. Esau would sell his birthright out of hunger for a simple bowl of stew. Jacob would deceive his father Isaac, covering the back of his neck and his forearms with skin that would be hairy, just like Esau's, so that he could trick his father and deceive his father. And his mother was in on the trick, so that Isaac could receive the blessing, or so that Jacob could receive the blessing of Isaac. All of this deception and denial, deception that would be something that God still loved his children, even though there was great disobedience. He still would have a passion and a plan for them. He still wanted them to be his people, to tell of him and his relationship to them. He prospered them. He gave them land, riches, long life in the case of many, and the favor of his presence, but with the promise that they yet were to possess. Like us, God has asked us to believe and to trust him. But he daily blesses us. I'd like to share with you now a little bit about the story of my father-in-law. Orville passed away this past Sunday, a week ago today. That is why we were not here last Sunday. But perhaps you did not know, but he lived alone in Lovell, Wyoming, 90 miles away from any relative, lived all alone in a two-story home, taking care of his own needs. And he had just come back from Wyoming to come to Nashville to stay with his sister, or his daughter, excuse me, Desiree's sister, Shireen, and her husband, Craig. And then we were going to have what we lovingly called the prisoner exchange, where Dad would come to the other sister. And so it was our turn. And so 2 weeks ago, Orville had just arrived in Nashville, or in Orlando, the night before. And he came to church and he worshiped on Sunday with us. We're glad so many of you were able to see him and mention and comment to him. He wasn't as popular as you, Mary Jean, but they loved him too. And so we start to see how now what had happened. Monday started to fail. His AFib had kicked in, as we found out at the hospital. And in their test for an AFib, they found that he had a tumor on his liver. It was likely stage 4 cancer. Unbeknownst to him or us or anyone, including the doctors. And then from there, we found out later in the week that his kidneys were beginning to fail and that his AFib was not under control. And I share with you this news. It doesn't seem like a blessing, but think about it. He could have been all alone in Lovell, Wyoming, without any help, without any family. But there at the VA hospital in Lake Nona, Florida, for his two daughters and their husbands and their family, going through all of this, hearing of the same messages that the doctors were sharing and praying with Grandpa and reading scriptures. And we had communion 2 days, I think it was on Wednesday, when we found out the news that he had this liver spot. And when we saw all of this, we started to see that the doctors were preparing us for something of finality. But the blessing was we were all together. The boys played their violins. Two sons-in-law preachers prayed, and the daughters sat beside their father and read scriptures, as did we all. But I want you to know that he didn't die alone. His family was with him. He was surrounded by the presence of those who had loved him, who were important and precious to him, each and every breath. And I was reminded that there's not a day that he would be cheated of, nor even a single breath. I was reminded as I looked at the scriptures that we read, and I now share with you, because these were a blessing to us, and I hope they're a blessing to you. As we looked at Orville in the eye, we shared some of these scriptures. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That meant something that day. It meant a lot more that day. Fix your eyes upon Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith. And we couldn't have written a better script of knowing that his family was with him and all of his loved ones of his immediate family were in that room. His children, their husbands, and all but one of his grandchildren, and his two grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Rejoice in this, that your names are written in the book of everlasting life. Luke 20, verse 10. Rejoice, Dad, we read. These things are written that you might believe that they, by believing on his name, you might have everlasting life. We shared these scriptures with a dying man who believed as we believed and trusted that God was about to fulfill his promise of life everlasting. Fix your eyes upon Jesus, Dad. And then, I am the resurrection and the life. You know those words were said at a cemetery originally? By Jesus, at the death of his friend Lazarus, to Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters. And he said, I am the resurrection and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. And he who believes in me shall live, even though he shall die. Yet shall he live again. Those words were victorious words. Those words were our words. And they were Orville's words. My friends, I pray that they're your words. Because each and every one of us know that one day our time will come as well. Like these biblical characters, we live by God's grace with the blessings of today. A family that surrounds us. Being in the presence of God while being in the presence of them. And tomorrow's future and promises we look forward to possess and to hold tight. Dad has those today. We long to get them. But they are ours to get. And they are promises that we will get them from the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's neither suffering nor death, things to come nor things present that can ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. I hope that's a verse that comforts you as you think about all the things going on in your life right now, that you can trust and that you can believe in this one God because he's giving you blessings, and you can see these as the seasoning, as the salt and pepper of this world, of this life, that simply help us realize that God is with us. But believing on the big promises that he's given us, that he's gone to prepare a place for us so that where he is, Jesus is, when he returns, he will come to take us to be with him. In Jesus' holy name, may you trust and may you believe that Jesus is the Christ and that God wants to have a relationship with you. In Jesus' holy name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Lord and Savior Jesus, we thank you for the rich cloud of witnesses that you've given us to show us that you love us, you want to be in a relationship with us. And in that cloud of witnesses, we see human failure and faults. We see faith as well as trust. And from them, we learn that despite the difficulties of life, often they trusted and acted and believed on the promises that you'd given them. Help us to be restored unto the joy of our salvation and to claim the promises that you've extended to us in your holy word and to see that you are with us in all areas and all days of life and that you are invested, involved, and interested in our life, that you pursue a personal relationship with each and every one of us, that you have a plan and a purpose for us. Help us, O Lord, to trust in you, to believe in you, and to live our life accordingly. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray that you would be with our congregation and with our leaders. We pray that you'd be with Chanda Gillenwater, our assistant, our communications and ministry coordinator. We ask, O Lord, that you would bring health and healing to her during this time of taking a medical leave. We ask you, O Lord, that you would restore her unto full health and return her to Trinity at your time. We also ask, Lord, that you bless Trinity as we seek a music director for our services and ask your blessing upon that. We thank you for those who have stepped forward. We thank you for Tim Conyers, and we ask your blessing to be upon him in his new ministry assignment. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus, we also give you thanks for the opportunities we have to serve you and to boldly witness of you. We ask your blessing upon us as we look to our new neighbors across the street and see such a wonderful opportunity. Also, with those who don't know you across this great community, help us to be individually and collectively as a congregation to be aware of our opportunities to share the good news of your love in Jesus' name. Lord, in your mercy. And finally, Lord, we pray that you would be with our country during this time of trial and impeachment, this time of rumors of war and turmoil in the Middle East. And we thank you that you would be with and have protected us over the past years, keeping us safe from harm. And we thank you and trust in you in the future as you will guide and direct our leaders. May you bless us with wise decisions, and for the sake of your people, continue to grant us the ability to worship you freely and with great course, to be able to share this wondrous message of your love. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, now hear the prayers of your children.
Lord, the congregation lifts up the following prayers. Pray for Pastor and his family during this time of difficulty. You give them strength. Pray for the Morris family for comfort at the loss of their grandmother, Yula May. Lord, in your mercy.
We now pray that prayer which you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should, at all times and all places, give thanks to you, Holy Lord. Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross, risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and we magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd broken it, he gave thanks and he gave it unto his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had supped and had given thanks, he gave it unto them, saying, "Take and drink ye all of it. For this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As often as you drink this, do it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. The peace of the Lord is that which we pursue. This cup which we bless Is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? This bread which we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? O taste and see that the Lord is good. Come, for all now is ready. keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace.
Almost forgot my notes. You don't want me weighing this. Announcements. First announcement. Love is in the air. Valentine's dinner. Help us celebrate God's love for us and love for each other on Valentine's Day. Well, it's going to be Friday this year, February 14th. In the fellowship hall, there will be yummy Valentine's dinner prepared by Chef Rich Poole. Come at 6 o'clock for social time, and dinner will be served at 6:30. Tickets are $15 each, and they're sold at the church office on the weekends of January 25th and 26th and February 1st and 2nd. Bring your spouse, sweetie, friend, or neighbor. Get tickets before they sell out. Adults only this time. We'll have more events to include the kids with in the future. So, love as I have loved you. John 13:24. Next slide is Leadership Summit, February 28th and 29th, 2020. Hopefully you're not still writing 2019. The Prince of Peace Church in Orlando, Florida. That's at Curry Ford in Semaran, if you're not familiar with where that's at. It's a Lay Leadership Summit for Region 3. Special event. It's designed specifically for lay leaders. I guess I don't know if that's me. It's a free conference. It's sponsored by the Florida Georgia District, and it's a place where our lay leaders have the opportunity to learn and grow as you serve Jesus in the local congregation. I guess the next slide. I guess Pastor must design that one since it's so artistic. Pastor Desiree and family wish to thank the Trinity family for the outpouring of love and support for the Callison family at the loss of Desiree's father, Orville Boges. Am I saying that right? Boggs, sorry. Many of you know and have met him at the worship services. I remember seeing him here the previous week. And Pastor and Desiree will be here over the week of January, this weekend, right. I'm talking about it in future tense, but yes, this... Pastor Rickenberg was here last week, if you remember, and he was filling in for the Callisons during the memorial service. Pastor, I guess, will be back in the office Tuesday. Oh, okay. These dates are a little bit. Oh, next week. That's right. Okay. A couple more slides.
I can take the next three.
Oh, you want the next three? When you're done, I have one to go over after you're done. After you're done, these three.
Okay. Okay. Just wanted to say the Immersed Bible Study, so that we're continuing. If you haven't picked up your book, there are a few left in the office. We wanted to let you know that. There are several small groups to choose from, and I wanted to let you know of one Saturday group that is forming. And that will occur at 4 p.m. Saturday afternoons in Loggia 2. We're going to be having a facilitator for it, but we're going to have an unnamed facilitator at this point. Chanda Gillenwater, our communications and ministry coordinator, is taking a medical leave of absence. You may have called and left a message and wondered, why haven't I gotten a call back? But Chanda has been out a little more than almost 2 weeks now, and we asked that we would keep her in our prayers as I prayed for her earlier this morning. Would you like to just say that you are invited to do the same? She's having a medical leave for her to focus on restoring her health. And if there are items for the church, please refer those to me or to the church office, which now has a volunteer staff sitting behind the desk, the receptionist desk. The business and financial items should be directed to Liz Roberts. And items for the CDC, of course, should go to Patty Moser. Next week, next Saturday, we will not have a foundations class on the 20th. That should be the 25th, I believe. So just to let you know that, I'll be out of town still, and we'll be returning the following Tuesday. So God's richest blessings. And I think there's one more.
Yes, there's one more. Unfortunately, you don't have to listen to me, but listen to a voice from the heavens in the choir loft. There's an announcement for you from up there.
Good morning. I would like to take a moment to talk about iDignity. iDignity is an organization that was formed in 2008 by Trinity and four other downtown churches. And what we do is help homeless and poor, disadvantaged people obtain their identification documents so that they can get housing and access bank accounts, get jobs. And in that time since 2008, we've helped over 20,000 people get their documents. We've seen them get into housing. It's a wonderful organization. So February is Trinity's month to support iDignity, and we do that in two ways. One way is to collect donations to help pay for the lunch for the 100 volunteers that serve every month. The other way is to volunteer at the monthly event, which is going to be February 6th. That's the first Thursday of the month. If anyone would like to learn more about it, just see me, Glenda Frazier. Or if you're willing to open up your wallets and give a donation to help support this, we'd really appreciate it. Thank you.
We'd also like to thank Glenda for playing for us this week and for next week for covering our 8:00
services. Thank you. Well done. Go in peace and serve the Lord with joy.